What's up, everybody? It's Josh Trent. This is Wellness and Wisdom, the place, the podcast, where, as always, you and I together, we go on this journey called the Arc of Wellness. We gather, we apply, we embody the wellness and the wisdom to nourish the five sides of ourself, right? The physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial ways that we signed up to master here on planet Earth. As always, for these Ask Me Anythings, I am here with my amazing co-host and our content manager, Mar. How you doing today, Mar?
Hey, Josh, and everybody listening today. I don't think I'll ever say that I'm not doing great because I'm basically always doing pretty great. So today is another day that I'm doing great. A sunny, beautiful day on the island.
It just reminds me that our environment is so crucial. You know, you live out there in the middle of the ocean. And for all y'all in the concrete jungles, I feel for you because sometimes your job keeps you there or relationships or kids or whatever it is. And I want to say this from my heart. You can always create the environment you want. Now, nobody said it was going to be easy, but you can do it. I don't care if you're in a high rise or if you're in a countryside, you can do it. It's just starting with, honestly, a lot of the things we're going to talk about today, how to take care of yourself. This is AMA 623. We're going to talk about ADHD myths, freedom-focused care, and somatic therapy for marriage when you're in marriage. Also, as always, this show is free. Right? We do this because we know that it is most needed in the world right now. And all you have to do, by the way, if you're already buying wellness products, you can get them up to 40% off. Just go to joshtrent.com/store and negotiated special deals from teeth to toe, including your brain, right? I don't care if it's skincare, clothing, supplements, healthy organic foods, EMF mitigation, nootropics, you name it, you got it. 100% promise you that you're going to get these things way faster, way cheaper than on Amazon. That's my promise to you. And you can support yourself, you can support your wallet, and most importantly, you can support this community, this tribe, by going to joshtrent.com/store. Look, you all know that your life is an amalgamation of the choices you make, the environment you're in, the foods you eat, the water you drink, and the air you breathe, and the relationships you have. So do yourself a favor and stack the environment in your favor. Really, stack the environment in your favor. That's not just lip service. I really mean that. Like, all these products that are at the store page, I take them every day, if not multiple times per day. Specifically the Mana. Shout out to Mana. Mar, you got some Mana, right? You enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. The yeah, Shilajit and the Ormus. I love it. What did you feel from that?
It's just such a natural and sustainable boost of energy and just like feels like the body needs what it was asking for so long, but I didn't give it to it. So it's like, yeah, the body is so happy when I take it.
And the body keeps the score, which is a great place for us to start. You know, I was going to start with the question from Dana, but we're going to go right to the question about the body because this is a big one. Oh, and by the way, everyone, I neglected to mention this. If you want to have your voice heard like Jacqueline or Dr. Stanton or all the people that are voicing 90 seconds or less, head over to joshtrent.com/AMA, right? 90 seconds, you can record it on your phone, on your desktop, wherever you are. If you've been marinating or ruminating on something, if something's been bothering you in one of those five sides of self that I talked about, head over to joshtrent.com/AMA and submit your question. We'll do our best to pull upon all our resources, almost 700 podcasts, and also my 20 years in this work trying to figure out how do we get wise and how do we get well, joshtrent.com/AMA. Okay, let's hear what Jacqueline has to say.
Hey, Josh, just wanted to say thank you so much for all you do and for all you share. My question is dealing with a relationship with marriage. When you are going through the crazy cycle over and over again, you keep having the same issues and you want to reach out for help, but you're looking for something that's maybe more somatic over talk therapy. Is there anything that you would recommend for that? It would be great to know. Thanks a lot.
Okay. First of all, amazing question, because who cannot relate to that, right? Whether you've been in any relationship ever, or whether you're in a 5, 10, 20 year marriage, these are all really important things to figure out. How do we get to the most loving place here? How do we get to the most loving place within ourselves first? It is true nature, don't you agree, Mar, that our partner is our teacher? In other words, our triggers are invitations for us to look at what bothers us about self. Have you felt that in some way?
100%. It played out in a relationship that I had a couple of years ago in a way that I didn't expect, never wished for, but in the end, it showed me the things that I needed to look at and wasn't willing to look at until I was completely forced to. So yeah, they're definitely a teacher.
Yeah, Jacqueline, I feel you. So I'm not in a marriage per se, but I'm in a 5-year sacred union on its way to marriage at some point. And I also want to share with you, marriage is a construct that was brought to North America from a place that wasn't fully loving. The original meaning of marriage that I think, and I'm going to answer your question here, was to pass land and title. It's your daily reminder to take your daily symbiotic from Seed, the highest quality gut health supplement on earth with rigorous evidence-based science and the most complete formula I believe exists in the entire microbiome world. For all the parents, we know that gut health starts in utero and as children and continuing on to young adults. This is why my son takes the PDS-08 Pediatric Daily Symbiotic from Seed. It's clinically studied for children and adolescents ages 3 through 17 with 9 probiotic strains and a fiber-based prebiotic. It's true that our health is not only what we eat, it's what we absorb. And current research shows that upwards of 90% of people have some form of leaky gut, children included. Seed helps to support children's healthy regularity, easy frequent bowel movements, and it's exceptionally well tolerated while supporting all the little tight spaces in the gut that our children need most. And our friends over at Seed gave you and I 25% off our first purchase. Just head over to joshtrent.com/seed and use the code in all caps, 25JoshTrent. That's joshtrent.com/seed and use the code 25JoshTrent in all caps to get 25% off your first order. We talked about this in an upcoming podcast with Mark Groves and Kylie Macbeth, where we really explored the not just the etymology of the word marriage, but also the origin of marriage. So with that as a speaking point, as a jumping off point, it's really important to go back to before you were married, right? Start with the end in mind, but also identify how you started the thing, whatever the thing is. So we're talking about marriage, sacred relationship. Think about if you could do a deep breath and just close your eyes right now. If you're in your car driving, don't do this, like pull over, but close your eyes, take a deep breath, float 30,000 feet above your entire life and look at the most significant points in your marriage or in your relationship. Go all the way back to the beginning, Jacqueline. Remember how you felt in your body and in your heart when you met your man, when you fell in love with him, when you started to cultivate trust, and when you started to understand that he was the one for you. And go back to that and feel in your body right now what it felt like then. Just take a moment, put your hand on your heart, put your hand on your stomach, take a big deep breath through your nose, feel your belly. Exhale a couple more times while you're listening. And just know that that is still there. It's always there. Whether the relationship changes, whether you stay together or not, that feeling, that energy that of love, the energy and motion of love is there now just like it was in the beginning. What happens is we get clouded from trauma, from arguments, from pain, even from children, right? The stress and the care that children demand and that they deserve. So many things can almost be like this. Here's a great metaphor. Inside of your heart, there's this beautiful light, and it's that light that connected you to him. And that light is shining super bright, the same way it was in the very beginning, except the only difference now is that the lens that you're looking at has been covered with soot and dirt and tension and confusion. And really what gets to happen is an emotional, spiritual pressure wash. You get to pressure wash all the dirt and the confusion. That's what somatic therapy truly is, right? And when you get through that, you'll see that the light that's shining from your heart in the same way that you connected to him in the very beginning, it is the same and probably even more, because love feeds off of experience, which begets more love. And so the best way to do this is, I'm going to be selfish here because it's what's worked for me the most. On my arm is a tattoo in Italian, and it says, se posso respirare, posso scegliere. And what that means is, if I can breathe, I can choose. And it's in our breathe program. It's in many of the breathwork episodes we've done. One that comes up for me when I took my deep breath was episode 551 with Stephen Jagers. This is somatic breathwork for trauma healing. A great place to start is your breath, right? Because we come into the world, we take a breath, and we leave the world, we exhale. And so your breath is this beacon. It's this really arbiter of truth. What is the first thing, Jacqueline, that happens when you're going through this merry-go-round? I love the way you explain it, Jacqueline, because I know we all can relate to this. Like, Mar, have you ever been in a merry-go-round with your partner where it's like the same fight all the fucking time? It's the same thing.
It's so exhausting.
It's exhausting. It gets you to a place where you're like, where is the way out of this? Mm-hmm. Well, you and I know, we all know on some level intellectually that the only way out is through. But how exactly do we get through? Right? We get through by being honest about where we actually are. I think a lot of people, they start from where they are and they're not honest from where they are. And they wonder why they don't get somewhere new because they're just hauling this radio flyer wagon behind them filled with all their stories and projections and pain. And it's just like impossible to move forward unless you have a check-in. So I would say, go to joshtrent.com/M21. There's a 3-minute breathwork practice in there. There's also a 3-week journey at breathwork.io. You can use the code podcast33. Now, look, you don't have to buy what I'm saying here, right? The proof is in the pudding. You don't even have to join the Breathe program. I mean, over 1,000 people have, and it's been incredible for them, but you don't have to. You can look up for free online these somatic practices for getting deep into your body. Probably where you live, there's also a breathwork facilitation that's going on. The best place to start when you're on the merry-go-round is first to stop the merry-go-round. We had a question, I believe it was a week or two ago, from another listener, and they were describing how they were on the floor freaking out. Do you remember that, Mar? I forget who it was, but it was someone like in total shock and trauma. And you brought up a good point. First, we have to get out of fight or flight if we want to get to rest and digest. So on an autonomic level, we have to be able to pull the only lever we have for our ANS, autonomic or automatic nervous system. Guess what the only lever we have is? It's our inhale, our hold, and our exhale. That is the only voluntary and involuntary mechanism we have to calm ourselves down, to get us to turn down the volume of the prefrontal cortex that's been completely shunted of blood. All the blood has left the prefrontal cortex. Our amygdala is hijacked. We just have the volume turned up for safety and fear. So the best way to do that is to get out of your head and into your body. Now, that's a very spiritual term, right? It's an esoteric term that I'm sure, Mara, you and I have heard a lot. But really the best way to get into your body and out of your head is through your breath. So I would start there, Jacqueline. I would get very clear when you go into your breathwork practice, whether it's 3 minutes at joshtrent.com/M21, whether it's our longer breathwork meditations at breathwork.io, the 7, the 10, the 20-minute meditations. Get really clear on exactly what you want to stop the merry-go-round from spinning from. What is it? What is the fight that's happening all the time that's causing you the most pain? That's just like, I can't get off this hamster wheel. It's driving me crazy. Feel the pain of that first. Connect with the love that I talked about earlier, because the pain is just the soot and the tension on the window, right? The light is still shining. The light of love is still shining for him the same way it was in the beginning. It's just blocked from confusion and from fights and from merry-go-round. Get clear on exactly what you want to pressure wash in this breathwork. Get clear, write it down, meditate on it, take that into your practice, connect with both worlds. An upcoming episode that's going to be incredible for you is where Teal Swan, who we're bringing on the show, talked about this concept of holding two worlds. And it's a question that I ask a lot on the podcast. How do we hold two worlds, Jacqueline? How do we hold the world of your love for him and marriage in the most sacred thing, the most sacred relationship you could ever have in the world? And how do you at the same time hold the tension, the fear, the resentment, the rage maybe, of these arguments? How can you hold both of those worlds? You can hold them both, but again, you have to start where you are and you have to be honest with where you are. And I think having an emotional inventory of that is going to be the best step. Now, on a practical level, let's say you've done your 3 minutes, your 10 minutes, you've gone into longer breathwork journeys, you've listened to joshtrent.com/551 with Stephen Jagers, the founder of Somatic Breathwork. And let's say you've done this for a month or so, and nothing is working. Maybe something hasn't hit yet, which, to be honest, I know it will. I'm just saying that because worst case scenario, right? Then what you do is you actually invite your husband to go with you. And you say, hey, I love you. I've been noticing. Speak from the eye. This is nonviolent communication, right? The basics here. Speak from the eye. My husband, I love you so much. I want us to have a thriving relationship. And I have noticed my contribution to the merry-go-round. Here are the things that I identify about myself that I can see are adding fuel to our fire. Speak from the eye. That's going to disarm him. And by the way, for men, I'm going to give all you ladies a really big clue here of how to get to the heart of the masculine. Give him a heads up. Give him a warning and say, hey, babe, I've been thinking about our relationship and what I want to create for us. And I just love you so much. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. or this weekend, can we have some time together, some heart-to-heart time where I can share with you some of the things that have come up for me, and I'm really committed to making our relationship great. Would that be okay with you? Of course he's going to say yes. I mean, how could he not say yes? If he loves you, he's going to say yes. Then use that space to speak from the I, practice nonviolent communication. What is the I in which you recognize? What is the I in which you're committed to change? And what is the I in the practical steps of how you're going to measure that? So say what you see, say what you heard, and then talk about the solution that's coming after that. But speak from the I, and this is the big one, Jacqueline. Refrain from pointing the finger. Refrain from saying, well, when you always do this, or when you, you know, you never do that, that is a sure sign you're back on the merry-go-round. Do not enter the merry-go-round. Use your breath. Inhales and exhales as you're sharing with him. I promise you these practical steps. I practiced this with Carrie Michelle. It is the only way out. The only way out is through. And how do we get there? We start right here. Those are amazing resources. And I can't, of course, forget to talk about the episode with Adam Lane Smith. What was the title on the episode for joshtrent.com/610, Mar, with Adam Lane Smith? Do you remember the title on that?
Oh, yeah. It's Relationships Are Teamwork, How Men and Women Make Relationships Work and Heal Your Attachment Style, which is a big one.
It's a big one. Have you ever done any attachment work?
Well, it's complicated because I used to be very, very securely attached until I got hurt in relationships and got cheated on. And so now I'm in the... What do you call it? Anxious attachment style. Yeah. So I'm stuck in that, and it kind of makes me scared to get in a relationship again. So I haven't been healing it now because it's hard to heal it if you're not in a relationship, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think, and this is mirrored by not just Teal Swan, but I think every counseling, marriage, professional therapist. Our partner is actually, and I say this with like the most respect and the most care, Jacqueline, and for all of us that are in relationship or want to be in relationship, that have a desire to be in relationship, our man or our woman across from us, they are our most powerful teacher. They're our most powerful mirror. And I don't say that lightly, right? Now, granted, when you have kids, they become your mirror as well. But your man or your woman, your partner, is the ultimate teacher for you to show you, to quote Peter Crohn, where you're not free. And where you're not free is when you project your stuff onto that person instead of pause, breathe, practice nonviolent communication, be in your body. By the way, nobody says this is easy. Just because I'm giving you a simple framework doesn't mean that it's easy to execute, right? So I have grace when I say this. I'm still learning myself, right? But at least I have the tools, and the tools is what I'm sharing with you now. Please use these tools. Because when you listen to these two podcasts, and when you just do a quick search on our website for nonviolent communication or for breath work or somatic experiencing, there is so much rich content for you, Jacqueline, and for all of us who are suffering. We don't have to suffer so much. We can ease the suffering here. It doesn't have to be this knockdown, drag out merry-go-round all the fucking time. I promise you, it really doesn't. The only way out is through. You have some tools now to start the passage through. Trust yourself. Trust that he loves you. Trust that the light still shines the same as when you met him, because it does. It's still there. Believe that, feel that, and trust that as you move through the process. Okay, let's get to the next question. Okay, this next question is from Dr. Stanton Holm, who was a guest on the podcast, and he's such an amazing chiropractor and just freedom. I don't want to say freedom fighter, because he's a freedom advocate, right? Whatever we fight against, we fuel. So he's a great freedom advocate. He's an incredible father, podcast host. Make sure you check out Future Generations. Let's hear from Stanton.
My brother Josh, Dr. Stanton Holm here, Future Generations. I feel like I've been on a 3.5-4 year deployment, being someone who is a combat veteran, somebody who has seen his friends die in combat. I sit here in the wake of this 4 year psychological operation that I feel very blessed that you and I have had several conversations illuminating many of the sources, many of the root causes, but also many of the ways that humanity has responded in some of the most inspiring ways, but also in some of the most, in many respects, negligent or absent ways. I'm curious what you think is the key, right? The powers that be, those people pulling the puppet strings behind the systems, behind your doctors, your public health officials, your legislators, don't care about you, are bringing the war to our devices and are bringing the war to our children. What are some of the top things you believe humanity must rise to?
Wow, talk about a bomb drop question. Let's unpack it slow, because so Dr. Stanton is talking about what we've experienced in North America, which is, you know, USA and Canada, but what happened in 2020 with the lockdowns and the COVID theater and the outsourcing of our own agency and autonomy happened globally. And I'm sure you felt it as well, Mar, wherever you were. And the way that I think we can really start this conversation, it's quite nuanced, would be, what are the actual facts that don't have anything to do with a narrative of interest? What do I mean by that? The facts are that we are all feeling this interstitial tension. And I know we feel it all the time, whether it's government or policy or politics or finance or control or permitting, or look at how many things we have to go through just to drive a car, just to own a home, just to be a human being in this world. And quite frankly, what's really hard to swallow is that the United States of America, as well as all countries, are actually corporations. Now, this is something you can easily search for. It is not the common narrative. So I'm going to present things that I know, Stanton, you're on board with, but it's going to be very uncomfortable to hear. All of us are being monetized at all times. We're being monetized at all times, specifically through two vehicles, anxiety and depression. And so really, Stanton, the bulk of your question is, where do we go from here and what do we get to focus on from here? We first get to identify that these anxiety and depression, energy and emotions, these energies we feel, they're actually our protectors. And we talked about this last week where, you know, Mar, I think you even asked me, should we rename the title? Because is anxiety and depression really self-love, or is it something else? And it's a paradox, because anxiety is a focus on the future. It's a fear of the future. Depression is a rumination or a saturation of the past, shame, blame, what I could have done differently. Did I fuck it up? Blah, blah, blah. And we're never going to get out of these energies completely, because it's what fuels our human experience. In a way, it's the gas that fuels the car that is us. And so I think what we really get to do is take a deep breath. And again, I love this analogy of floating above our timeline. Look at how you felt in 2020, in 2021, and even in 2022. And even now, you still see these people wearing double masks in their cars driving on the freeway alone. We have been indoctrinated by a narrative that is not for our good. I'm not here to be fearful. I'm not here to paint this morbid picture, but that was a wake-up call for all of us. It was a massive wake-up call for us to take stock of exactly what is most important to us. And unfortunately, I think, Mar, we felt the same. It's like people chose to cower. People chose to tuck their tail between their legs and bow their head down. And I'm not saying this to shame you or blame you, but we needed you. We needed you to rise, and we needed you to say, you will not stick a needle in my child's arm just so they can go to school. We needed you to say, no, I will not participate in this insane theater where I get my name on a punch card because I got an experimental jab in my arm and somehow that makes me free. We need to take stock of the lessons that we've learned. And again, this isn't shame, right? I'm not shaming y'all that chose that path. There was a lot of things going on. Fear is a very powerful motivator. We had Fauci. We had all these people that are paid millions of dollars on TV, blasted out by the five mega oligopolies in media that were telling us what we should do, bunny air quotes, to feel safe. But you and I know that the safety we feel has nothing to do with this narrative of interest. The narrative of interest has an interest, and that is to sell product. It's funny, I just... I'll link this in our show notes. I just did the cold plunge and the sauna this morning, and I recorded this this just quick 30 seconds. And I said, you know, we are being monetized at all times. Our adversity that we feel in life and that creates this depression and anxiety, it can either be a fuel source for us to get in tune with us, or it can be something where we're controlled by. And I dunked my head in the cold tank and I came out and I think I said something like, if you want to learn how to not be monetized and how to not be taken advantage of, then you need to learn to be friends with your own adversity. You need to learn to be friends with your own discomfort. It seems easy, and I'll ask you a question in a second, Mar, like it seems easy for all of us to take the path of least resistance, right? But that's not how nature works. Look at, if you've ever gone into the forest, Mar, and you've seen how trees grow through rocks or how plants and animals fight so hard sometimes to just reach the sunlight. Have you experienced this in nature?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that.
Isn't it crazy how nature always finds a way to get what it needs, right? But it's not mm-hmm. it's not always through the path of least resistance. So if nature is our greatest teacher, and it is because we are nature, then the only thing we can do is seek the laws of nature when it comes to this lockdown COVID bullshit theater. The laws of nature never say that outside of myself is safe. The laws of nature always say that inside of me is safe, first and foremost. Now, granted, do your research. If it makes you feel safe because you yourself have decided that wearing a mask or getting an experimental jab makes you feel safe, then by all means, go for it. But I promise you, 9 times out of 10, or even 9.999 times out of 10, if you were to do the actual unbiased research, getting your information from sources that do not have a financial interest in mind, that just have your personal autonomy and your medical sovereignty at mind, you will find that the path is not getting something outside of yourself. It's not a patch or a shot or a mask or whatever, or a spray or pesticides or any of this stuff. It's all a fucking psyop. And I'll say that again. It's a psychological operation to keep you sick, to keep you unsafe, and to keep you stuck. That's really what we're talking about here. So Stanton, where do we go from here? Well, first and foremost, we stop fueling these agencies, these mafias, the American Medical Association, the American Pediatrics Association, the WHO, all these agencies that have a vested financial interest in keeping us scared and unsafe and sick. And we start reaching out, which is exactly what you're doing, Stanton, to our community, to our tribe, to the people that we actually trust. Who are the medical practitioners? Who are the holistic doctors? Who are the functionals and the naturopaths in our community that when things like this happen for us, because they're happening for us, that we can reach out to and get really quality, trusted information about how to bolster our immune system, right? Now, granted, I have to say this because I don't want to get flagged. None of this is medical advice. I'm not telling you what you should do. And by the way, I hope it's clear, Mar, you're not telling anybody what to do, right?
No.
Okay, no, neither am I.
That's not my place.
We're literally just here to present our opinion that is centered around this lens of liberation. I do not believe it's possible to live a liberated life if you are outsourcing your decision-making power and outsourcing your agency to something outside of you. That's different, by the way, than doing real research and using your intuition and your discernment to find the answers that you seek. Intuition and discernment come from the I. Outsourcing autonomy and agency come from the we that has the vested financial interest. That is, I believe, where we start. And to quote Zach Bush, whenever we push against something, we actually fuel it. Whenever I'm against anything, I'm actually for it in an unconscious way, because all I'm doing is using my anger to feed the dragon of the very thing that's breathing fire at me that I don't want. And that's a really big piece. I went through my own Hawkins ladder on this, Mar, where like I was first in complete denial, then I was in shock, then I was in anger, then I was in rage, then I eventually worked myself up to compassion. It took a couple years because I was so sad, like our fellow human beings just completely selling themselves out and selling out their children. And I don't even want to talk about what happened where babies that were born during that time. It's just so heartbreaking. It almost makes me want to cry, like the parents having to wear masks. I remember when we unfortunately were in the hospital and we had to wear masks, and we would rip our mask off every time that the nurse went away, because I thought to myself, this is a psyop. This is not real. This is not true. I trust my heart. I trust myself. And that's what this is a call for. It's for us to gather in real tribe and community, and in that community have people that do not have a financial vested interest in their narrative, that really just have a narrative for good. I'm sure you experienced some of that, Mar, where you were, but I wonder, compared to North America and Canada, what it felt like for you wherever you were.
So at that time, I was living in Peru, and it was a whole different thing than what you experience in the US. And they really wanted to scare people. So they put all of these soldiers in the streets and you just couldn't get out. You couldn't get out of the house. You could only be outside until 4 p.m. And after that, it's like full lockdown. And I just don't understand how people just bought in so easily, because all of the rules that they were creating during that time, whether it was like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is for women to go out, and then Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday is for men to go out. It's like, how do people think this is normal and it's going to help somebody? So yeah, like for me from the beginning, I wasn't scared. I knew it's like, this is not really something to be afraid of. What I was afraid of more was how people reacted to it. So the masses just following all the mainstream media and just saying, okay, if you're not wearing mask, it's like you're going to kill everybody and like you're a bad person. So that's how I saw it and how it was where I stayed at that time.
I'll never forget. It was my birthday and I was flying. I think it was 2021. It might have even been 2020. Oh, it was 2021. And I'm at the airport and I just did an experiment. I'm like, what would happen if I just came in with full confidence that I'm safe? And I did that. And I walked in and I'm like the only one without a mask. And I'll never forget this moment. I want you all to visualize this. And I say this with respect. I'm not here to demean this person that I'm talking about, okay? But there was a woman, incredibly morbid obese, and I mean like really obese, holding a 64-ounce soda with her child eating Cheetos or some kind of cheese cracker, and then her husband, morbidly obese as well. And they're like a good 5 feet away from me at the airport. And she says, "You need to put your mask on." And I said, "No, I don't. I'm fine." "No, you're going to get us sick." I remember she's barking at me, holding the soda, watching her child eat these foods. And at first I had such anger, but then when I got on the plane, I was just like, wow, I'm not better than her. I am more aware though. I am more aware of what's really going on here, because if she thought that wearing a diaper on her face and her child eating Cheetos and her drinking a soda was going to keep her safe as long as she wears a mask, it's so sad. And this is a call to consciousness. This is a call to awareness. This is a call for us to be in real community again. The only reason we were able to be divided is because we allowed ourselves to be divided. That's really what this was all about. And I think that's why you see so many people exiting cities and coming to the country, and the mass exodus from Cali to Texas and Florida and more free states. And in closing, I'll say this, there's no greater clue than what leadership does during a crisis. You really know who your leaders are when there's a crisis, right? And I try to be the best leader I can be by being honest and by showing all of my emotions and whatever's real for me. Like, I've cried on calls with you, Mar, because like, mm-hmm. That's life. We cry, we're human beings. Yeah. A leader isn't perfect, right? And so I'll never forget this last thing I'll say. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, was caught by one of the servers. The servers at a restaurant took a photo of him. Him and like 20 guests not wearing masks in the middle of all the craziness of the pandemic, he got caught. He got caught not following the very fear tactics he was speaking. And he came out the last week and he said, "You know what? I'm so sorry. I need forgiveness." And it's like, no, fuck you. You don't get forgiveness. Because you're bankrupting people and you're ruining lives by you tacitly approving what has been handed down to you by your puppeteers. No, you don't get forgiveness. You get reckoning once the smoke has cleared. And I do hope that capital punishment comes for people that have brought down these heinous, really human crimes against humanity. I do believe that will happen, hopefully in our lifetime. And if not, then let God be the judge. But that's what I have to say is, we don't always have to be airy-fairy and good vibes only for things to happen in the way that's most helpful for all. Sometimes it does take sacred anger. I'm sure y'all can feel my anger there. And that's okay. It's okay to feel your broad spectrum of emotions. When we're robbed from feeling our emotions, we're more easily controlled. When we're allowed to be disconnected from community, well, then we're allowed to be controlled. And that's all I have to say about that. Go ahead and search on our website. There's many, many episodes about this topic, but I think I can rest off my soapbox now. Let's go to our final question. Our final question is, again, this is not medical advice. This is from Dana. And Dana is asking a very beautiful question about ADHD in children.
How come ADD or ADHD drugs are still being used to make a child or an adult, and make may not be the right word, but to get them to perform or conform to society so the child can sit down at a desk, why not have more outside time? I do find it interesting that those drugs are still being used, and I feel, could be wrong, that those drugs lead to other drugs later on in life. So why or how come are they still being used and promoted? Oh, I've seen parents brag about their children being on these medications. Like, hey, don't you want your kid to, you know, go with it too? And it's like, haven't we learned? Those things don't work. You see a bunch of adults dysfunction in the world.
I feel like intuitively we all know the answer to this, right? Like, I'll throw it at you, Mark. Intuitively, don't you already know the answer to her question?
Intuitively, possibly. I don't know if it's right or not, but
what do you think it
might
is?
Be. I feel like doctors usually just follow certain rules that they learned at school that the system taught them. They don't really know that they're not truly helping. They believe they're helping, and maybe they do help some people, but they're not really addressing the root cause. And I think that's the main issue with the healthcare system.
Yeah, well put. And that's a mirror of, I think, what everyone feels without even having to use their intellect. We all feel that on a somatic level, that obviously the branches are connected to roots. So you don't chop off the branches when you want to heal the tree. You look at what's poisoning the roots. A great episode for this, a really good episode, Dana. joshtrend.com/567. Leland Stillman, MD, he's a medical doctor. And he talks about the secrets of stress disease connection, the truth about psychoneuroimmunology, which we'll talk about, and how to be well for life. He touched on the comparison and the mechanism of breathing, improper breathing, and ADHD. The traditional Western diet, and Weston A. Price found this in his book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, when he toured across the world. He found that when tribes and when people would deviate from their natural nature-based diet, that they actually would have more issues with their teeth being crowded and their facial structure being crowded. And most importantly, this is a big one, their breathing apparatus through their sinuses would actually be shrunken down when they would deviate from their nature-based nutrition source. And a lot of times, by the way, again, I'm going to say this, right? My opinions are my opinions, and they're just based on my research. I'm not here to tell y'all what to believe, and none of this is medical advice. But I will say that if we have a medical doctor on our podcast who's been schooled in the arts of medicine sharing this information, y'all might want to take a look. He doesn't have a vested interest in monetizing your pain. He has a vested interest in alleviating our suffering. And so the first place to look when it comes to ADHD is, what is the environment of the child in? Are the mother and father screaming at each other? Did the mother have trauma while the baby was in utero? Are there certain epigenetic predispositions that the child has a greater proclivity to exhibit? In other words, if the mother had trauma, if the mother had cleft palate, if the mother had a birth that was difficult, if she hasn't healed her own birth trauma, is there some kind of intergenerational trauma that is being passed on to that child first and foremost? Because essentially, attention deficit disorder or hyperactivity disorder is when the child doesn't feel safe in their body. That's the root of all this, right? And so, yes, you can chop off the tree limbs, give them medication that gives a intermediate reprieve, but it's not the long-term solution. The long-term solution is to go to the roots and figure out what's in the soil, what's in the water, because it's going to be one of the five that we always talk about, right? Is there financial stress in the home? Does that go down to the child? I mean, I can relate to this, Mar. I was born on welfare, y'all. So like my dad wasn't home. My mom was super stressed out about money all the time. It took me to my late 30s to get clear that money wasn't trying to kill me. That's real. So is there spiritual stress in the home? Is there a complete severing of a connection to God and higher power? Are you living in a home of atheists that believe there's no meaning to it all and that we're all just going to die and there's, you know, there's no point to us even loving and living? Is there mental stress in the home? Is there being verbal threats passed between mother and father? Is the child, how is the child behaving that's a mirror of the parents behaving? Is there emotional stress in the home? Does the child even understand that he can breathe or she can breathe or that emotions are a good thing? Is the child's emotions being silenced because the mother and father doesn't feel comfortable being around that child's emotions? right? These are really big things. Is there physical stress going on? Does the child have something going on with their lungs, with their mouth, with their nose, with their food that they're taking in? Look at all of these things first. And then from that point, then you can move forward to say, okay, maybe in certain cases, medication is necessary. I'm not here to demonize Western medicine. Shoot, they save a lot of lives. You know, they do a lot of good. I'm not here to demonize doctors either. But I think to your question, why medical practitioners jump so quickly to give pills is because they get 5 to 7 minutes with a patient. That's it. How much impact, how much understanding is even possible in 5 to 7 minutes? I mean, look, this AMA is like 30 minutes or more, right? And I feel like we're really touching on some things. We're touching on the tip of the iceberg. But to really get down to the roots, you need presence and you need time. And these are things that current Western practitioners do not have, either one of them. And my heart goes out to every doctor, by the way. I really have deep respect and deep compassion for our Western doctors and what they go through. They do not have it easy. And they were sold their own psychological operation. They've been in a PSYOP since day one in their medical school, where it has nothing to do with nutrition or lifestyle. And it has everything to do with getting the patient in and out as quickly as possible, because that's what feeds the broken insurance, pharmaceutical, and medicine triad. And that's a whole nother podcast right there. But that's really what we're talking about. So if y'all can take a breath, float above the timeline about when Western medicine really came to be, and you do a quick search on our site and you look at the real roots of Western medicine, specifically the Rothschild family and its integration into the medical industry in the early 1900s, you will find the truth. You don't need me to lead you. You don't need me to preach to you. You can do research. We're so blessed, Mar, with this technology that we have, because we can go find information that our ancestors could not. And so, yeah, I guess really just to end, it would be about having compassion for these children and having compassion for the parents that are with these children, because ADHD and hyperactivity, it is a beacon and a call for healing of that lineage. First and foremost, that's what this is all about. It's a call to healing for the lineage, and that healing is only going to come through the inventory of those five sides of self, because then you can actually be liberated naturally, most times, from this ADHD. So I don't know if you have anything, or if you have any friends or relatives or family, Mar, that have dealt with that, but I've seen it a lot and it breaks my heart.
I do have a friend who has ADHD. I don't think it's like I don't know if there's stages to ADHD. I don't really know that much about that topic, but there's a beautiful thing I just recently learned in a podcast that's coming out in 2 weeks with Catherine Zagoni. That's episode 626. And she was saying that you can prevent some of these things if both parents before conceiving take a few months to clean their bodies out of toxins, do some healing work, release the stress, release the trauma. It can actually prevent these things in the children they're going to conceive. So that's an interesting point of view, which, of course, if you already have children, you can't go back in time. But if you're still planning to have children, it's definitely something to look at.
Yeah, thank you for that reminder. So we'll link that in the show notes today as well. It's awesome because we get so much information from our guests, and our job is on these AMAs and really in our show notes and in our liberatedlife.me community, it's all about getting to the real practical things that'll actually move you forward. I think, unfortunately, Mar, the spiritual world and even the wellness world, it's become very airy-fairy, and it's become very lighthearted and just to focus on good vibrations. That's not going to move us forward from where we actually are in the 3D, in a human body, in a human mind, with human responsibilities. So take stock, take inventory of exactly the bigger picture. Don't get so close to the elephant that you can't see the tusks. Like, pull yourself back and go, okay, what's actually going on here? And could it be possible? Could it just be possible that I have been sold a lie since birth, and so did my parents? And that's what we're really all regurgitating and that we're all coming to terms with now. It doesn't have to be a sob story. It can actually be a really cool moment of healing. I think that the creator brings ADHD to a family to viscerally and emotionally and generationally heal whatever is wanting to be healed. And I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. So thank you, y'all, for this AMA. It was one of the good ones. They all are good. Remember to submit your questions, joshtrent.com/AMA. Mar, this is a great one. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
We covered a lot today. I think the question from Dr. Stanton was really, really deep. And really I feel deep. Like that could have been like a 2-hour podcast on its own for sure.
Literally.
Just one more thing for future questions. I feel like sometimes the questions could go even into more detail and then we could provide even more information related to the issue or something that people are dealing with. So yeah, if you can include some more details about what you're going through, then we can go even deeper on that.
Yes, context is crucial. Thank you for that reminder. And I want to call myself out, right? Because that's what all of us get to do. And that's what all leaders do. Earlier in the AMA, you felt my anger and you felt my frustration towards Gavin Newsom. I want to be clear. I'm not wishing death on anyone. I'm not wishing harm on anyone. Okay. Because whatever I fight against or whatever we fight against, we fuel it. So that was actually me just being a human and just being fallible in that moment where I feel so much pain and I feel so much sadness and grief about the lives, the millions and millions of lives that were so tragically impacted by what I do believe with my limited scope of awareness that Newsom and that all of these leaders handed down, knowing full well in their heart and mind that it was going to harm people. That's the kind of karma that I'm talking about. I'm not in control of karma. I'm not wishing death or harm on anyone. But I do believe in certain cases that the Nuremberg trials existed for a reason and that capital punishment exists for a reason, not because I say so. And this is another podcast and a whole philosophical angle that I'm talking about here to end us with. But I do believe that there are means that justify certain behaviors in this world. And so that's for y'all to decide, right? I just presented my opinion. So in true leadership form, may we all have the vulnerability and humility to just give ourselves grace for feeling emotions and saying things that come up. And then also having the grace for ourselves to explain them more when I feel or we feel that what we said might not be the best thing to say, right? And so if I go back in the AMA and I dissect that, in that moment, what I said was true for me and still is, but I do not wish death or harm on anyone. Let God, let society, let the tribe decide, not me. Okay, y'all, joshstrand.com/AMA. We'll talk to you soon.
Doing the cold plunge and cold thermogenesis is fast becoming the number one way to increase your health and metabolism, which directly leads to weight loss. Let's hear from Ryan Dewey, the CEO and co-founder of Plunge, to learn more.
At this point, you've probably heard about cold plunging somewhere on the internet and wondering what all the hype is about. Well, here at Plunge, we like to take all the stress out of the problem by providing at-home cold plunge units that provide crystal clear cold water on demand. As opposed to lugging ice and getting that trough in place and dealing with dirty water, the Plunge provides it always in there ready for you. Cold plunging is one of the greatest ROI tools that's out there. 2 to 3 minutes every single day, and you get the increased dopamine levels, a more resilient immune system, a regulated nervous system, and ultimately just a more calm, peaceful outlook on life. We truly believe that when you take the plunge, you change your life. We'd love for you to check us out and see what the cold plunge is all about.
Save $150 off your brand new plunge, plus get free shipping right to your home by heading over to joshtrent.com/plunge. Use the code WellnessForce. This is hands down my top daily biohack for longevity, inner peace, and mitochondrial health. Don't miss out on this special limited time deal. Head over to joshtrent.com/plunge. Use the code WellnessForce. Save $150 off your brand new plunge and a super special deal of free shipping.